Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
shouting and shies. Thank you, Bridget. Tonight we'll be doing a small break from some poetry. We're going to be visiting history of some rock bands. We are part of a group of all poetry, the biggest writing site in the Voices, ATOV. It's free to join. If you'd like to share your work or listen, participate, you can find us in the groups of all poetry in ATOV, ATOV Voices. Knock on the door, Deborah will let you in. Like I said, it's free to join. We have shows just about every night of the week, different hosts, different themes, different prompts, but we always have fun. Number here is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837. And I'm Jay Heller, your host for the evening. We're going to be visiting the Doobie Brothers, a band formed in 1970. On the counterculture in music was a foothold. A lot of good bands. The Beatles just broke up. So it was basically a new era of music, and Doobie Brothers was a good part of it. We're visiting some of the tragedies they went through as a band, personal and professional. Members who joined and left and then came back, the Doobie Brothers. With me is Deborah Lee, my little sister, best friend. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
So, what albums or tapes did you have of the Doobie Brothers? You must have had some.
Ask me that again.
Did you have any albums or, yeah, I used to have albums back then?
I don't think so.
I think the first one was Captain and Me.
Yeah, I recognized a couple of the songs when you asked for the downloads, but I'm fairly sure I didn't own any of the albums.
Yeah, I pulled songs from the Captain and Me, their first album, and the second album was Toulouse Street, a couple from that, and a couple of Michael McDonald when he joined the band. Actually, twice, 1971, when the band was first on its way up, promoting their first album. Five concerts into the tour, lead singer basically overdosed on some partying, and himself in the hospital. So they had to find a new singer, and they're looking for a keyboard player, and Michael McDonald was available. Skunk Baxter from Steely Dan was with the group at that time, the guitarist, and Michael McDonald finished the tour for the Doobie Brothers. They had to find somebody, they were going to get sued. So Michael McDonald eventually, I think it was in 1975, came back and joined the band permanently. But we'll get into that. When I sent that list, they're a party band. These guys admitted party hard. They were when they first got together, they were sitting around in an apartment, smoking weed. And one of the roommates said, yeah, they call yourself the Doobie Brothers. So they didn't have any other name. So the first recording or the first gig they had, they went with the Doobie Brothers. They weren't happy with it. They thought the name was stupid, but they had no other at the time. And it stuck. So the Doobie Brothers. And it means exactly what it sounds like it means. These guys were partiers. Ended up with a Martin 404 airplane that's like a 727, and that was the band airplane that flew around in. They partied, so they smoked in the cockpit, in the plane, which is dangerous to sell. Open flames with oxygen in the tube, but such is life as a rock star. All right. Okay, we're in the studio, Deb. How about that? See how long that lasts. Well, it kicks me off. It kicks me off of. Yep, sure did.
All right. Well, it's all good. I can push the buttons, and that first song that you mentioned, I just put some stuff on your chat wall.
Yes, classic. One of the best songs off of the Captain and Me album. The song is China Grove. And so I've got it loaded up. Wait while I go find some where I've stashed the information. You got that, Deb?
It's right on your chat wall if you just want to read it to everyone.
I'm wondering. Bear with me 1 second. I got to go around the long way.
Oh, yeah, not a problem. You stay on the chat wall, and I'll stay on the studio, and then I'll just keep loading the chat wall for you.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. walking back in. If I used the app, I think maybe I could go around that, but what a pain. So it's getting hot in California. Okay. Yeah. You want me to read this before?
Yeah.
Okay. China Grove. Okay, nobody talk on the chat wall because it jumps every time you say something. China Grove was written and sung by the original Maine singer-songwriter. Okay. Tom Johnston. The song reached number 15 on the Billboard Hot 100. Well, there is a real China Grove, Texas. Johnson's lyrics about the community are fictional. The song spent eight weeks in the top 40. Like many songs by Johnson, the music was composed and developed before the lyrics were written. It started with a guitar riff that he and drummer John Hartman developed into a jam with a chord structure. Johnson said that the lyrics were influenced by a piano part in the performance. Interesting. China Grove.
And here we go.
All right, that's China Grove off the Captain and Me album, Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers is an American rock band from San Jose, California, known for their flexibility of performing across numerous genres and their vocal harmonies, active for 5 decades, 50, 5-0, with the greatest success in the 70s. The group's current lineup consists of founding members Tom Johnston, guitars and vocal, Patrick Simmons, guitars and vocal, along with Michael McDonald, keyboards, vocals, John McPhee, guitar, pedal steel, violin, backing and backup vocals, and touring musicians including John Cohen, bass, vocals, Bill Payne, keyboards, Mark Russo, saxophone, Ed Top of drums, Mark Kionis, percussion. Other long-serving members of the band include guitarist Jeff Skunk Baxter, from Steely Dan, from 74 to 79, bassist Kevin Porter, 72 to 80, then 87 to 92. So these guys came in back and forth joining the band. And drummers John Hartman from 1970 to 79, original member, then 87 to 92 also. Michael Hossack from 71 to 73, then 87 to 2012. If you believe it, Doobie Brothers is still considered a current band playing, and they're touring. Keith Knutson, 73 to 82 and 95, or 93 to 2005, the Doobie Brothers. They won 2 Grammy Awards. I know that. Where is it? McDonald down your feet. Past members. Okay. See, Tom Johnston provided the lead vocals for the band from 1970 to 75 when they featured a mainstream rock sound with elements of rock, country, and R&B. Michael McDonald joined the band in 1975. As a keyboard player and second lead vocalist, he gave some relief to Johnston, who was suffering health problems at the time. I kid. McDonald's interest in soul music introduced a new sound to the band. Johnston and McDonald performed together and co-lead vocalist for 1 album, Taking It to the Streets. Before Johnston retired fully in 1977, frequent lineup changes followed for the rest of the 1970s, and the band broke up in 1982. With Simmons being the only constant member, having appeared on all of the albums. In 1987, Doobie Brothers reformed with Johnston back in the fold. McDonald, who had previously made several guest appearances since the reformation of the group, returned to the band full-time in 2019 for their 50th anniversary tour. The group's 14 studio albums, include 6 top 10 appearances on the Billboard 200 album chart, including 1978's Minute by Minute, which reached number 1 for 5 weeks and won the band a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Performance by a Duo or Group, while the singles What a Fool Believes from the same album won 3 Grammys itself. The band has released 6 live albums and numerous greatest hits compilations, including the 1976 Best of the Doobies, which has certified diamond by the RIAA, for reaching album sales of 10 million copies. I know the band has sold over 50 million copies worldwide. The Billboard Top 100, Top 40 has hits include Listen to the Music, Jesus is Just All Right, Long Tray Running, China Grove, Blackwater, Taking It to the Streets, What a Fool Believes, and The Doctor, all of which remain in heavy rotation of the classic rock radio. They were inducted into the Vocal Group Hall of Fame in 2004 and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on November 7th, 2020. The group has sold over more than 40 million albums. The other list said 50. Yeah, great sound. I was in high school in the band and came out and sure everybody had Captain and Me. Let's see. Let's play I'm going to play a little Michael McDonald. When he joined, he added a different sound for the group. Deb, can we play What a Fool Believes? Is number one in 1979.
Sure can. And look on the chat wall. I put an interesting thing I didn't know on there. You might want to share a little bit of it.
Okay, let me go back. Maybe if I get out of here. Hey, relax. Hey. Hey. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. Okay, sorry, guys.
Are the cats co-hosting?
Oh, that's Sugar Bridges protecting her bed, and Pager wants up to lay down. Relax. God, man. Okay. Get into the chat. Yeah, I'm going to stay. Get out of the studio. Yeah, I had my hot rod was at that time was 1967 Firebird. Scat Track 1530s on the back, Tiger Paws on the front, US slotted mags, and a Craig Quadraphonic stereo system. Okay. Oh, I see it. Okay. What a Fool Believes, the song was one of the few non-disco number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100 during the first 8 months of 1979. The lyrics tell the story of a man who is reunited with an old love interest and attempts to rekindle a romantic relationship with her before discovering that one never really existed. Yeah.
That disco had nominated the charts so big time that they were the only number one in 79. That's pretty wicked,
man. It was all about the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees were huge. The album...
And here comes the song.
What a Fool Believes. Can you
two,
push the button?
One.
Michael McDonald joins the Doobie Brothers.
She came from somewhere back in the long ago. The shadow of a moon, she's trying hard to recreate what has yet to be created. Once in her life, imposters are found for his nostalgic death. The white man comes.
great lyrics. That's What a Fool Believes, Michael McDonald singing with the Doobie Brothers. Some of the lyrics were excellent. They're poetic. Keep sending him somewhere back in her long ago. Keep sending him somewhere back in her long ago where he can still believe there's a place in her life. Someday, somewhere, she will return. She had a place in his life. He'd never made her think twice. He was, as he rises to her apology, anybody else would surely know. He's watching her go. What a fool believes. Poetry. How about that? Some good lines in this. But seems to be always better than nothing at all. Than nothing at all. Excellent.
Very poetic.
Now I was reading, isn't it? Now I was reading some of the history of the Doobie Brothers. When they first started, they had a gig in the Liberté. It was a old like a Pony Express or a stagecoach stop, sort of a dying town. And the place they had the restaurant or the bar in there, Jacques Liberté, was a place for hippies in the Santa Cruz Mountains. That should explain. It was for the hippies and Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels were a big. They always attended their gigs. They talk about some of the wild things. Party animals, these guys, the Doobie Brothers. Listening to the music, you wouldn't know that Hell's Angels hung around them. Doesn't sound like a biker band, apparently. A little history on Michael McDonald. He was trying to get into the music business, and he learned that if he wanted to get connections, he had to sell cocaine. Now, these are his words. He admitted this in an interview with the Rolling Stones magazine. He had to sell cocaine. He said if you had a gram in your pocket, you were golden. He'd sell it to band members, basically anybody that would pay him to pay his bills. So Michael McDonald was hungry for fame. He got it in an opportunity when Matt Johnston, the other lead singer, overdosed in the band. Michael McDonald got his foot in the door. In 75, he rejoined the band permanently for a good 5-6 years. Three of his songs, got him Grammy Awards and song like top. They're always in the top 10, top 200. That's not too hard when you're a rising band, but if you get in the top 20, that's pretty good in how long you can stay there. Michael McDonald had a great sound, totally changed to the Doobie Brothers. Some people don't like change. They were both good. If you took a road trip, Captain and Me was one of the songs that you would have to play. Deb, could we, let's see. Let's play, what do you got? What's the next one on the list? Push the next one on the list.
The next one says, Jesus is just all right with me.
Jesus is just all right with me. That's off at the Toulouse Street, the second album. And great song. This guy's got the harmonies. If you listen to the backup singers, they've got four of them. They harmonize very well. And they have horns. Rock band with horns is sort of a rarity. There wasn't very many of them. But the saxophone always, to me, adds a lot of character in the songs. Yeah, Jesus is just all right with me.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
Jesus is just all right with me, the Doobie Brothers. The song has a long history with many incarnations. It was first recorded by a gospel group, the Art Reynolds Seniors, in their 1966 album, Telling It Like It Is. The Byrds covered it in 1969 and released as a single on their album, The Ballad of Easy Rider, where it charted at number 97. They turned the song into a rocker of faster tempo and prominent electric guitar. The original version was piano-based and acoustics. The Underground Sunshine, a psychedelic band, released their version 1 year later, but this one didn't reach the charts. 1972, the Doobie Brothers recorded it on their album, Toulouse Street. The single was released in February 1973 and reached number 35, becoming the most popular version of the song. The arrangement was based on the Byrds recording. Interesting. Never know. These groups worry about people covering their songs, making a little money at it, when in fact, back in the day when they were doing it, there was no laws. They didn't have the laws of copyright infringement. I think they were starting to be going to court and starting to rewrite them. Like in the late 60s, I think the Moody Blues was the first band to go to court about copyright laws. So a lot of the bands did take some of the R&B or the soul artists' songs and rocking them up a little bit. Arthur Reed Reynolds, who also wrote the Byrds' 1971 song Glory, Glory, wrote Jesus Is Just All Right. It's one of the few Doobie Brothers songs the band didn't write. Okay. I don't have a history of it. Let's see. Tom Johnston, who is the group's lead singer, credits keyboard player Bill Payne for helping come up with the breakdown. Payne was Little Feat's pianist, but also recorded with the Doobie Brothers and many other bands. In a Songfax interview, Johnston, he said, "I think Bill Payne was involved because it involved a B3 Hammond, that's the keyboard, and the da-da-la-da-da-da-da-da-da. he had a song that he did by Randy Newman, Short People, on a very first album called Beehive State. It had a similar lick and possibly came out of that." It's interesting what the band member or guitarist would be inspired by and change. Yeah, it's songs about loving Jesus. There's very few mainstream hits, so ambiguously is in praise of Jesus, and it was a very odd message coming from the Doobie Brothers. Johnston told Songfax, "The funny thing about it, we weren't anti-religious, we weren't anything. We were just musicians out playing a gig. We didn't think about that kind of stuff very often. We would be out playing that song when that single came out. And all these one-wayers was the big movement at the time, well, I see. It would be at the show, and they would run up to the stage with their fingers pointed straight up. At first we didn't get it, and then finally said, oh, I know what's going on. So when we would play the song, they would go nuts. They would throw scriptures on stage, that sort of thing. Little did they know, they were trying to enlist a support to the wrong guys. Yeah, they party hardy. They admit it too. When a band member fell out because of drug use, they just had to plug somebody else in. And excellent. Yeah, bro. Do you listen to the Doobie Brothers?
When I was listening to radio stations and the DJs would spin it, but I, like I said, I didn't have any of their tapes or okay. albums or anything, but.
Yeah, they, 1974, one of the better big years for them. Now, Doobie Brothers was like Steely Dan and some of the other bands that survived the disco phase. Disco was huge, and we apologize for that. But some good sounds. The Bee Gees, I'm not cutting the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees were great. The Brothers Gibb, Barry, Maurice, and Robin. Can we play Blackwater? Blackwater?
Yeah. Well, that worked out pretty well. I was just putting a little sentence about that song on the board.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Before you look at that sentence, and before I push play, I will open the mic for AP.
Okay.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, AP. AP Taylor, Australia.
How you going?
We're doing okay. We're going over to the history of the Doobie Brothers.
Passing out tons of information on the Doobie Brothers.
Well, there you go. There you go. And I heard you talking about the the Gibb Brothers the Bee Gees very quickly too, Hannah. And we, of course, claim the Bee Gees, even though they weren't born in Australia, but we claim them anyway.
I remember
they came with, well, but they weren't born in Australia, interestingly enough. Do you know where they were born, Hatter, the Gibb family?
Well, I know they're from the Bay Area. They're about 3 hours south of me.
Oh, okay. That's where they live now. Yeah, but where do you know where the family was originally from before they moved in 1958 to Australia?
The Doobie Brothers? Went to Australia?
No, the brothers, the Bee Gees.
Oh, you mean the Brothers Gibb? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, let me bring my Bee Gees hat on. Now, you see, you asked me when did they do that?
Well, they came to Australia in 1958, and they started performing at speedway races for pocket money to entertain the crowd. That's where they got in Brisbane.
Yeah.
But they weren't born in Australia. The whole family emigrated to Australia in 1958, and they were originally from, obviously, the Isle of Man.
That's right.
The Isle of Man is an island off the coast of England.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they... isn't that where they tried to have the second Woodstock? Didn't work. Yep. Isle of Man.
Yeah, there you go. Isle of Man.
Yeah, we'll have to have a show, and I wouldn't mind doing the Brothers Gibb. There's a lot. Barry and the twins, Maurice and Robin. Not identical.
Yes.
And the sad...
No.
The sad history of Andy. Andy was
Robin's
kid. We
could do Thursday next month, Hatter.
Yeah, could do that. We'll do that.
Yep.
A lot of information about the Bee Gees. Let's see. I've got Blackwater. I've got some of the lyrics. Let's see. Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling, Mississippi moon. Won't you keep on shining on me? Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling, Mississippi moon. Keep on shining on me. Of course. Yeah, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything, pretty mama, gonna make everything all right. And I ain't got no worries, because I ain't got, I'm not in no hurry at all. Well, if it rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. Just take the streetcar and go. That's going uptown. Yeah, I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland and dance to honky tonk. And I'll be buying everybody drinks all around. Blackwater. Doobie Brothers.
And here we go.
Yeah.
New York,
Blackwater, Doobie Brothers, everybody knew that, the lyric. I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama can take me by the hand, hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, I'm going to dance you through all my life.
Cat singing with you.
Sorry about that.
That was cute.
Yeah. Blackwater, the song, of course, was about the Mississippi River. The lyrics were likely, with lyrics likely inspired by Mark Twain's book, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, which tells stories about rafting down the river. Blackwater wasn't seen as having hit potential, so it was relegated to the B-side of another part, Another Sunday. See, sometimes you just don't know. Not even the band. That was a huge hit for him.
So you have three songs left to go, but I didn't find anything on the Cajun woman.
Oh, South City, oh, no, South City Midnight Lady, no, I got you. The,
I didn't
find,
I have the long train ride and I have the listen to the music, but I didn't find anything.
Let's play A Long Train Running. If we could. I believe this is off the Counted in Me album. Okay. Okay. Now. Get back. Okay, Long Train Running.
AP, did you write or did you come hang out with
us? Huh? I tried to get the mic to work. Okay.
I actually did. And you may have already discussed the Doobie Brothers song, Hatter. So I do take that on spec. But have you spoken about Take Me in Your Arms, Rock Me a Little?
No, I can find it.
My mic picked all that. Say that again, AP. I couldn't hear you.
Take Me in Your Arms. Rock Me a Little. That Doobie Brothers song.
Oh. There's South City Midnight Lady. And then
I'm grabbing that song
Cajun.
Right now.
You grabbing that song, Jeff?
Yes.
You'll know it, Hatter.
I think I got you the South Cajun, Southern Cajun woman. I'm not sure, AP. I know the lyrics you're talking about. Say it one more time.
It's the It's the one that goes. I know you're leaving me behind. I'm seeing you, darling, for the very last time. And it goes into the chorus, which is Take Me in Your Arms, rock me a while.
Oh.
You know, a little louder, Rock Me a Little While. It was called Take Me in Your Arms, but it was often called Rock Me a Little While. But it's from Stampede.
The Doobie Brothers. I know you're leaving me behind. And you take me in your arms. I didn't know that one.
I bet you will when you hear the song. If Janet put it up, because the words don't look right, but when you hear it makes sense. If that makes sense.
Well, what I found here says, "Take Me in Your Arms, Rock Me a Little While" is a song written by the premier Motown singer-songwriter production team of the 60s, Holland Dozier Holland. The first hit recording was sung by Kim Weston in 1965, but it was most popular in 1975 when it was recorded by the Doobie Brothers. So, let's have a listen.
I bet the original was good chance that the Wrecking Crew would have done
probably
that.
Probably right.
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
Very well.
They didn't put their name on anything. Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
All right. Turn it up a little.
Rock me, rock me a little while. Oh, it's not it. Rock me.
Oh, that's me. Rocking out on that.
You
yeah,
do that one,
roll,
right?
At its finest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It says the American jazz rock band Blood, Sweat, and Tears released a version in June 71, and Jermaine Jackson released a version on his solo album in 72. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I got the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, David Clayton Thomas, the lead singer. I've got him on the list of shows. He might be after the Bee Gees. That's an interesting story. Al Stewart, who did the Sessions albums with the studio artists and other rock stars, it was his project. I just read briefly, Blood, Sweat, and Tears was sort of pieced together as Al Stewart production or experiment is what they would say. But then they found David Clayton Thomas, one of the most iconic voices of the early rock, late 60s, early 70s. David Clayton Thomas, but he had a little religious background. A lot of these soulful singers come from Bible Belt, singing in the choir, you know. You can
very
always
true.
Tell. You can always tell. I think Lou Gramm from Foreigner, he has a gospel background like Elvis Presley did. Go ahead, Deb.
I was going to say that Al Stewart is the Year of the Cat. I like that song. But back
yeah,
to the Doobie
Al
Brothers, for the song we just listened to, AP brought you a poem.
Yeah, song we just listened to. That's rock and roll, man. That's the best. How can you sit still when you're playing that? We did a I ran a pool league in a local tavern for a couple of years, and then so I was friends with the owners of the bar, and one of the bartenders, he came out and he would plunk about $10 worth of songs, and it was all what he would look up as the most popular songs in bars across the nation, and it was basically all country, and I bet him that I could get people to react more to the songs I pick. And so he did. He played $5 worth of the country songs. I put Motown. And I tell you what, you could just watch the people start moving, you know, to the beat. It's a natural thing to do. You couldn't sit still in your seat and do that. Crowd will do that every time. I'm not saying country's bad. It just doesn't have the soul at the old Motown.
Nothing's
I don't know why they
Motown.
Can't.
Come on.
I don't know why they can't. For Berry Gordy, it's all Berry Gordy. But somebody, to me, Motown's ended at the Jackson 5. Anything before that was basically all Motown. Anything after that, it gets in to a more... Well, what's the genre with Mariah Carey and
pop?
Beyonce. Yeah, I guess pop. Didn't sound like either. But anyway.
Bubblegum music?
They don't have this. I don't know if it's the soul. I talked to another DJ, and he said because the music has no soul, and this is why, because they're written by committee. They're written by a group of people, not one artist. They really... white artists writing their own stuff earlier in their career. After they become famous, I'm sure they can tell them to screw off and go do what they want. But there's no. He says no soul because it is. He calls it written by committee. It just means a group of people, think tank, and they put together great power songs. Look at some of the you know, Beyonce, Mariah Carey, can't think of them. The other girls. But anyway, what is it with the Motown sound? The Four Tops, Temptations, Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross.
Sounds to me like there'll be another Motown show coming up soon.
I think so, too. It's just
But hey, come on, I don't know how much time AP has in Oz, and I don't have a lot of time left, so let's check out his poem.
Yeah, which songs we got left?
After the poem, we have Long Train Running, Cajun Woman, and Listen to the Music.
Yeah, so here. Yeah, Cajun Woman.
So let's do the poem that goes with Rock Me a Little While, and then you can pick another song.
Okay.
It's on the chat wall. Just click it. Click it.
Okay.
Thanks, Deb. And thanks, Heather. Take Me in Your Arms, Drop Me is a song about the end of a relationship, and so I was sitting here this morning thinking about that, because that's what's happened to me this week. I signed papers all off on Tuesday, and so it seemed a decent time to do a quatern on that theme, and it goes a bit like this, Heather. With a swirl of ink and a flourish of the pen, decades ago went into marriage to be flung. Recall the excitement within the union when friends stood to teeming rain as music sung. A Parker Silver Arrow signed certificate among, with a swirl of ink and a flourish of the pen. A simple document plain within initials strung, held a promise of worlds ahead back then. Children, houses, to friends, ken, lives formed upon pearls of one day signed. With a swirl of ink and a flourish of the pen, lonely a piece of paper of their link remind. By innocence forgotten drowned that bind, fallen into the rains and brackish rusty fen, to court papers the divorce left underlined, with a swirl of ink and a flourish of the pen. End poem.
Silver Arrow. Yeah.
Do you still have the pen, AP?
No, it was actually my father-in-law's pen, so I don't know where the pen went, but I remember it well.
I think it's really cool how you tied the whole thing to the signing with that pen. And then bring it back at the end as well. Started with the pen and ended with a pen. That swirl of ink. The mega changes in both instances. Decades of children, houses to friends. It's just like a lifetime between two signings of, or two swirls of a pen. Powerful stuff.
So, okay, I've got a three verse. I'll just read it. I held the pen. I held the pen that led the words that rang from a cloudless sky. Windless storms will carry the curse, whispering names as you walk by. The wounds will never tell you, nor the scars that paint my cheek. My severed hands will not write, and my words I cannot speak. My dreams are laced with blood that ran into a hopeless sea. These walls were built in which this stands on the souls of those that believed. I held the pen. Why don't we play... Listen to the Music. Is that it?
Say that again.
I want to do Long Train Running that last, and then you said two other, one of the other two.
It's the Listen to the Music, and I'd rather skip the Cajun one since we don't have. I don't have any information, so maybe.
Okay, what's the other song? There's one other song.
Listen to the Music, and then your close of Long Train Running.
Okay. Okay, what's the third song that hasn't been played? The other song?
The Cajun one.
Cajun woman? Play that one, please.
Do you have something you can say on it? Because I didn't find
it.
Oh,
no, I don't. No, good. Okay. No, I don't. Okay.
All right, well, I think we talked about the particular group so much that we can get away with it. So let's do that, and then I'll put the information on the board for Listen to the Music and Rock Me a Little While.
Okay.
All right, so hear that one.
Do we want to promote any songs coming? Any songs, any shows coming up real quick? Or are you going to save that?
Sure. Tomorrow night at 10 is Liquid Damage's first show with us. It'll be at 10 p.m. and she's hosting open poetry. She said, bring anything you want to share. She's very excited. I'm excited for her. And then also at 10 p.m. on Saturday, we celebrate Mr. A.P. Taylor on the 11th in America, which is the 12th in Oz, his birthday. And on Monday, the art comes with a bunch of onomatopoeia to add to it. So let's pull from sound into the poetry also at 10. So the next three shows are all starting at 10 p.m. Eastern. And here comes Dark-Eyed Cajun.
For that show. So thank you. Thank you, Hedda. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks for calling, AP.
No problem. Talk soon. Thanks, Hedda.
All right. Love and respect. Here comes
thank
Dark-Eyed
you.
Cajun Woman.
Take some.
Thanks for showing up, Deborah. AP, thank you very much. A little bit on the Doobie Brothers. So we're smarter than we started, right, Deb?
Say that again. What was that question?
Get smarter every day.
You just shared a lot of information about the Doobie Brothers, for sure.
I thought, go ahead.
And we have... the next song, Listen to the Music, is from 1972, also written by Tom Johnson. And the chord structure made him think of something positive, so the lyrics just came out based on the utopian idea. If the leaders of the world get together on some grassy hill somewhere and either smoked enough or just sat down and listened to the music, and forgot about all the other bull, the world would be a much better place. So they say it's time to listen to the music, and I agree. So here comes the Doobie Brothers. Listen to the music.
Thank you.
Everybody needs to stop and listen to the music. Okay, Deb. Thank you.
That was pretty awesome. And you got the last one now, Long Train Running. And I found this chart header that I thought was pretty cool. It says that on the original release, and then it tells you a couple places where it was released and how high it got on the charts. And it's really cool to see the difference. For example, Australia, the highest it ever peaked was 58. Canada in the adult group got as high as position 20, but in the top singles it made it to 8 in Canada. Germany was 64. The Netherlands, it reached the top 12 and the top 10 in two different categories. New Zealand, top 15. South Africa, top 11. And on the U.S. Billboard top 100, it made it as far as number 8. So that's pretty cool to see all the places that it made the top 100 chart, don't you think?
Yeah, and 3/4 of the songs I picked were all off of the Captain and Me album. It's a feel-good rocking album. Don't have it, go listen to it. All right, well, I'll let you guys go. Thanks for hanging with me.
All right, well, it was a very informative show, Hatter, and I will push the Long Train Running so that we can take it out of here. And we'll see you tomorrow at Liquid Damages show. 10 fun time, Hatter. Thank you.
Yeah,
here comes
Long
Train.
Thank you, AP. Thank you, AP. What happened?
You, Hatter.
Thank you, Deb. Miss the ice cream man again.